Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Here we go, hour two of Old School, 93.7 ticketfm.com, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredient and Butcher Shop with three Lincoln locations and one up in Omaha. You can also check them out online at themercadobutcher.com. 402-464-5685. You want to be a part of the show. Big thanks to Starter Heyman Jewelers for sponsoring not just our text line, also our streams, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, up and rolling for you, as is Allo, Channel 961, Allo, the official internet provider of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. DP, a while back, you had me put together a list of the best high school athletes I faced.
Yeah.
Just while we're on that. I don't know if we ever officially got to that, but I saved the list.
Okay.
It's just kind of fun to look back on. And, I mean, you're naming dudes. I grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska, not necessarily the same caliber of dudes. So, love my hometown, love my home city. Would not change it, but I will not be name-dropping Ronald Curry, etc. So the one I remember from middle school, kid by the name of Jared Bubach.
Okay.
He ended up going to Arizona State on a football scholarship, came back home and walked on for Nebraska, was on the team for a year or two and never did anything of note. His career probably peaked in eighth grade, A-team middle school football, when I took a little jet sweep end around and he blasted me about 10 yards out of bounds.
Smoker.
Yeah, he was 6'4", 6'5", 210 at that point. I was 5'0", 100 pounds at that point. And that was the day my football career came to a screeching.
That's why he became a jump shooter.
It is why he became a jump shooter, indeed. Speaking of basketball,
yes.
Wes Dreamer is probably the most notable name. He's gone on to play Eurobasket quite a bit. I think he was last in the Czech Republic. He was a freshman at Elmwood Murdoch when we played him. I think he transferred into Lincoln East, went to Northwest Missouri State, one of those guys that was, I think, on the title teams before he went overseas. Played against the future Nebraska track runner, Cody Marachik. Surprisingly good basketball player at the time. But the more dominant guy, never heard of again, Dalton Taylor. Post guy, rugged, all the moves, shoulders and everything.
Yeah.
Simon's brothers from Bishop Newman took the court against Noah Vedral a couple times as well. Better football player than basketball player. No offense, Noah. And Brooks Asher. I think he went on to play some D2 ball from Hastings St. Cecilia. Baseball, though, I can actually say I played against some guys. We know that Nebraska preps and baseball, you know, they put some guys in the league that have gone places. The Nebraska connections, Byron Hood from Norris was the Nebraska baseball member. Mojo Haggy played against him. He actually ended my high school career. And then it would have been Jackson Reitz from Norris, played for your Nats for a while, DP. So Jackson Reitz, I will never forget him back picking my buddy at second base. My buddy had just no idea what was going on, but also did end up playing against Alec Bohm for a couple of years when he was at Omaha Wrong Calling.
That's a pretty good list.
So
here's my conflict when it comes to those sort of things. One, defining area.
Mm-hmm.
Hometown versus Northern Virginia, because the people you play against and play with. My high school alone is kind of a jam. And I find that interesting because my high school wasn't a athletic powerhouse of that level, mm-hmm. right? Because we were playing 6A schools in Northern Virginia, mm-hmm. where I don't know, there are some dudes.
If you take some North, names, you know.
If you take some Northern Virginia, then you have to add the DMV, you have to add DC.
Yeah.
Before you even get to going 25 miles away and getting the Lynn biases of the world, right?
Sure.
Literally right around the corner, mm-hmm. probably closer than parts of Northern Virginia. But do you consider them? Now, DeMatha High School is a factory. You can just list. It's a who's who of players. Flint Hill, with all the basketball players, the Dennis Scotts of the world, the Kevin Durants, Montrose Academy, those types of players. Public school just alone, if you wanted to stay in that space. I don't know. Basketball, my high school rival was kept from three straight state titles by a guy by the name of Grant Hill.
Oh, that guy.
that my high school had the Palmer brothers, Walter Palmer, who ended up being a number five, I want to say number five pick by the Utah Jazz. 7'3" center.
Was he better than the Van Arsdale brothers?
Oh, the Palmers were better than, well, no, because the Van Arsdales had a higher ceiling. Crawford Palmer, who mm-hmm. started, so imagine that Crawford Palmer on any other planet, in any other era, is the best player in Washington, D.C., except for he's the same class as Grant Hill.
Grant Hill.
And you have to play Grant Hill four times a year, four times, twice in the regular season, once in the district final, and then again in the regional title. You're tired of seeing, dude. Grant Hill commits to Duke. Where does Crawford Palmer go? Duke. And what happens?
See him every day in practice.
But he figured it out because Crawford was the starting center as a freshman on that Duke championship team with Grant Hill. So you figure that out along the way. There are some guys. I mean, Joey Beard also played on that Duke team. Mike Tissaw, who also from Robinson played for Duke. Tommy Amaker from Woodson High School went down and played for Duke. Johnny yep. Dawkins from Mackin High right across the corner. Yeah, that area, you just go, okay. And then you get, oh, football. Oh, you want to talk football?
Let's do it.
I don't know. Let's go through that just alone. Nebraska's assistant coach from back in the day, maybe the most complete athlete I've ever seen at the high school level, Kenya Hunter.
Yeah.
Kenya Hunter. Mm-hmm. Kenya, you talk about those a 6'2.5" quarterback, shortstop, point guard.
Kenya strikes me as a defensive menace.
An absolute phenom. As a matter of fact, yeah, the lockup, because that Wakefield, his high school team, actually, when South Lakes beat my high school, Wakefield stepped in, and in 1 year they got him. They actually got Grant Hill and the crew. Dennis Scott was also a part of that all Northern Virginia team. Tommy Amaker was in that space. Mark Jackson, who played point guard / two guard for Georgetown Hoyas in that space. Dudes. Like, just dudes. My era, I don't know. There's the 7'3" Ralph Sampson. And his imagine going to camp, a point guard camp, and, oh, the first guy you're going to face, Othell Wilson. who I'm really sick of, quite frankly.
Times a year.
I made several business decisions because of the people that Virginia State High School star football game, the receiver, the guy that everybody, Gary Clark.
Ah.
So never mind. You need me to play flanker? Is that what, we're doing?
Okay, coach.
Hey, man. Because the other wide receiver started for Notre Dame, Joe Howard, also went to the league. Hey, no, just don't worry about it.
I'll get in where I fit in.
Hey, figure it out. Mark Cox, who is now a legendary coach along the way. I think Coxie ended up going to Wake Forest along the way. Yeah, so the high school level of it, you start identifying the talent. That's just Northern Virginia. That's not Richmond. That's not Hampton, where you get the Michael Vicks, Ronald Currys, you know, those folks, mm-hmm. The Bruce Smiths and the, you know, Pernell Whitakers of the world. What do you want to do? Stay away is what you want to do.
Michael Vick, legit candidate for Virginia Tech this cycle or next time?
I think next time he got his first win at Norfolk State. It depends on what Virginia Tech thinks their problem is. It may be recruiting. And
sounds like it's money. Whit Babcock has been very upfront about that.
Yeah, but how? Because Virginia Tech sells out.
I'm just telling you what Whit Babcock is saying. He says that their budget is like 113 or 133 mil, and he thinks they need 200 to be successful.
Well, but then if that's the case, and you can't get Beamer to leave South Carolina, because it's going to take you, you can get three Michael Vicks for what it's going to cost you to get Beamer.
Yeah.
And if you get Michael Vick to Tech, then, hey, you're going to, there will be an avalanche of Bruce Smiths that's showing up to help the program. The recruiting dollars will go through the ceiling. Think Scott Frost. Same feeling, same vibe.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter what your lack of experience at really coaching at this level. Doesn't really matter.
That's part of the deal is that there are a lot of Virginia Tech higher-ups, according to reporting, that just wanted Michael Vick to get some coaching experience because they're enamored of him coming back to lead the Hokies.
Well, it's his town. He is the Hokie. He's the Hokie. Now, I mean, Del Curry, nope. Bruce Smith, nope. It's Michael Vick. It's Michael Vick. And you bring dollars with you. You bring a collection and assortment. You also bring attention. Think Dion in Colorado. Mm-hmm. He fixes a lot of things. And he will be the nucleus to all of that talent we were talking about in the state of Virginia and DMV and North Carolina North.
Mm-hmm. Here's why I stayed home.
All of that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.
Would be all of a sudden now there's a full trek to Blacksburg, Virginia, and helps them because Roanoke proper is a football hub. There's just tons of talent down there. You just need somebody to round up the folks, to posse them up, and get them to go to Blacksburg, which is what happened then. That's what happened then. That's how you end up in a championship game against Florida State, was that you managed to handle the recruiting aspect of it, the football. What Frank Beamer did better than anything else was just galvanize the alumni base. Michael Vick does that for them. And so there are certain programs where that matters. Blacksburg would be one of them.
Florida State and Virginia Tech is such an interesting uniform matchup. I'm not sold on it. It's always said interesting.
Well,
I don't love it.
Well, but so if we said, what have we learned? Think if Florida State decides to get a new coach, you call Dion, right?
Probably.
There are a lot of programs where that is the appropriate. In this day and age, in the NIL, transfer portal, money, revenue, shared revenue era, that having a name coach with ties to that, again, 30 years in the game, of being able to recruit millionaire coaches and millionaire players to the program. And the fans, listen, you saw it here. We saw all the Frost jerseys.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to tackle anybody. He wasn't going to make any throws. But people bought into it because it made sense. So I think that's the new thing. Florida State, Tech, they have some – the UCLA falls in that – what are you choosing? What are you choosing? What is of importance? I mean, listen, Nebraska fans better sink their teeth into it because that decision will come around again. So know why you're making a decision. I think that's the biggest thing.
I want to go back to the text line. We got some other high school opponents to sound off on. Kip at Fremont High, Niles Paul, Brett Maher, Baker Steinkuhler, and Cash Kalkowski, all former Huskers. Probably give the nod to Brett Maher in that mix. Now, Baker Steinkuhler, big-time recruit, five-star for Nebraska back in the day. Niles Paul carved out a really nice NFL career, including with Redskins, proto Commanders. Cubs, the coolest thing I've done was play pickup basketball against Cam Jurgens at the YMCA. I managed to play against Cam Taylor Britt. Have I told you the story? So I was guarding Cam, going predictably, but he got in his way in transition once, so he had to pick up his dribble. And then dude fired a pass that missed giving me like the reverse mohawk, like the inverse by about that much. I said, dang, that's that old quarterback arm. He looked at me like, how do you know I used to play quarterback? Like, well, it's kind of my job to to know these things about you, Mr. Taylor Britt. Eric says, I got smoked by Ty Steinkuhler and made Danny Woodhead fumble in the same season.
I don't have, not in football, it was just, I mean, we played in some big games. I mean, folks have heard Barry Thompson here. We had games that, so imagine being a junior in high school and having George Michael on your sideline, the legendary,
like the George Michael
Sports Center sports machine, George Michael. Well, they picked our game as the game of the week, and so George Michael showed up at Battle of Unbeatens. On that team, there were three NFL linemen that started for us. We had some. I mean, Robert Oxendine, Brian Blados, who started next to Anthony Munoz for the Bengals. I mean, we had some dudes. Like, we had legitimate dudes. That's kind of where it was. We had you run into players who just play at a different – like, they identify the difference between a good high school player and a Division I player. And there's a substantial difference.
Yeah.
And you go – okay, well, let me go over here with the normals. Listen, I'm going over here with the people who are about to be high school coaches. Let me go over here.
There's the high school coaches. There's your insurance salesman. You know, there your accountants.
Look, I'm going over. I don't belong over here with the Charles Haley's and Gary Clark's. No, sir, I do not. The Eric Dorsey's of the Giants. He was a rival of ours, McLean High School. You know, you just kind of you get used to. You remember the first time a future NFL dude tackled you, like hit you.
Yeah.
And beat another NFL dude to do so.
To get to you.
Right.
Right.
That the first time Eric Dorsey hit, you just go, okay.
Yeah.
You know, watching the stuff, it's just interesting to think that, you know, Mark Canterbury, Dave Bautista went to the same high school in my hometown. So you get two WWE champions, world champions, who played football, you know, 5 minutes away from you. Right. And you just realize, nope, I'm not 6'6", 290. That's not
running
how this
a 4'5".
Yeah, that's not how that works, man.
4203, I think your name is Brock, says he played against Mike Miller in the Mr. Basketball Showcase in Kearney.
He gave up buckets. Yeah, I need to know how many buckets he got. Yeah, I saw Mike Miller put up a 70 burger out of high school. Jeez.
58-16, played the old Husker basketball guys in the Cornhusker State Games. Tony McRae, Charles Richardson, Marcus Perry, Brandon Ubell, Steve Harley, and company scored the first basket to go up 2-0. And final score of that game was 131-37.
I feel you, Matt. I am so sorry. I felt that, Matt.
John and Cortland got taken out by a sophomore linebacker, Tom Rathman. Tough guy to get taken out by.
Yeah, I mean,
no envy there.
Yeah, I mean, you would imagine that a lot of, you know, like, you imagine the folks who played against Mike Allstott in high school, and they talk about him as a running back.
Please tell me he had the neck roll in high school.
But you know he played middle linebacker, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he played middle linebacker.
Aaron played against our own Todd Euler, as well as Matt Hoskinson and Matt Davidson, Russ Hochstein as well. Ooh, Riley Delby, here's a fun one. I played AAU against Ryan Archidiakono in Kansas City.
So Becky and I were at the final when he hits the jumper against North Carolina.
Chris Jenkins. Is there any world in which Jay Wright is not the next head coach of North Carolina men's basketball?
Yeah, I thought he'd be the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. That made way more sense to me, the Boston Celtics. Like, I didn't know that you wanted to stay in the UNC world. I think Belichick makes the door open wider for the Jay Wright, because not many people have Jumpman as their bankroller.
Right.
Right? And that's the thing. You imagine North Carolina Athletics is already arrogant enough. You give them Belichick and Jay Wright, what are we going to do? We're going to shut down Tobacco Road.
I already got a decent baseball program, too. Women's basketball is fine. Soccer is Mia Hamm to fall back on.
Gonna have to shut it down. You gotta shut it down. Not dealing with y'all anymore. I went through this already. I went through this with y'all, UNC. I'm not doing it again. I'm not doing it.
Now, if Jay Wright were to have the opening game that Bill Belichick did, I would not be mad about it. Big Bird played against Brett Maher in junior high and high school. He is a sniper on the basketball court as well. 5,700, I played AAU against Joel Okafor. We don't have to talk about how the game went.
No.
Underrated Nebraska fact, they got a visit from Joel Okafor.
I am often just left dumbfounded by the number of people who have been here to be recruited and never showed up, which is why I simply just try not to pay attention to recruiting stories.
My sources have told me it was a, I'll be polite and come visit you because I have a connection to you in my past visit more so than a I'm taking this seriously visit. But people
seem to be most, that seems that, can we, okay. So can we get a study done that tells us how many people come here to visit, official visit, and don't come?
Oh, most.
No, but what's the number? What percentage? What do you, 98%?
I'm going to write that down, ask the recruiting people I know, because I literally have no idea where to start to ballpark that.
Right? Like, what do folks think the number would be for the number? And just official, not even unofficial.
Right.
But just those official, hey, I'm standing on the sideline visits to Nebraska. How many people over every year, how many athletes come here, stand on the sideline, get the swag, get the pomp and circumstance, and then never come back unless they're playing against Nebraska? What do you think the percentage is?
95. It's got to be really high. Because the number of official visitors that you bring into campus, you're not locking up all of them.
Again, this is why I try to run screaming away from recruiting talk about athletes. And you can ask me about the athlete and what makes him recruitable or what do you see on tape. But that makes you spend time on people that, quite frankly, aren't going to be a part of the pool for you to talk about. Like, it's, if Nebraska gets this quarterback who's a five-star.
We've got guesses of 5%, 10%, and 98%.
Well, I think it means 98% never come back.
Right, Cupsker, yes, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, was at Nebraska for an official visit.
Yep.
As was Micah Parsons at Friday Night Lights. Playing wide receiver, being a better wide receiver than the wide receivers at camp.
Was Marshall Faulk here?
I believe Marshall Faulk was here.
Barry Sanders was here.
Could have been. I believe it.
I think they recruited Barry as a defensive back. Is that, do I recall
that? That was Faulk, I think.
That was Faulk.
Yeah.
But not Barry Sanders.
I don't know that one for a fact.
Yeah, I don't know why I believe. And then all of the quarterbacks.
Many.
Man. Right, like a lot of
Tyrese Halliburton,
a lot of dudes showed up. Not all of them.
One-eyed Ray, we'll finish with this before we go to break. My older brother played baseball in Bath, Michigan in the 80s. One of his games, he took an at bat against John Smoltz. It was over in three pitches. He said he didn't see any of them.
Jay Tibbs, the best pitchers I faced, Jay Tibbs, Ben McDonald, Ken Dixon. Those are the three that. You step in and you have a conversation. You're having a conversation when you should. It's like Crash Davis. Mm-hmm. You tell yourself, get out of your head. Be quick. Be quick. Step out.
We're going to step out of this segment. We'll be back. Talk some Nebraska men's basketball. Fred Hoiberg made an appearance in front of the media yesterday. Go over what he said and start getting you ready for Friday night, opening night with the Huskers, Nebraska men's and women's basketball in action down in the Rail Yard. We'll do that when we get back to old school.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back on old school. Austin Orman, DP, with you. This segment of the show brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. Heartland of Nebraska Windows is based out of Hallam, Nebraska, and they offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. They're locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Give Heartland of Nebraska Windows a call today for more info at 402-430-3852 or visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Had a chance yesterday to hear from head coach of the Huskers, Fred Hoiberg. DP, back-to-back 20-win seasons for Nebraska with Fred Hoiberg at the helm. With some time to look back now from last season, the way it went down, obviously Nebraska winning the crown back in early April. What do you think about the footing the program is on now with Fred Hoiberg? Where do you think that this program is at entering this next season with him in charge?
So I'm consistent in that I don't want to give people credit for things they haven't done yet. And the last version of it is the last knowledge we have. There's assumption on talent and inclusion. But if you tell me to add the old version of Rink Mass to the conversation versus whatever 97% Rink Mass that may be in play, right? That he's still recovering. He's still, you know, new to the style of play he's going to be asked and new to the type of players that are around him. Casey is not in the building. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? What version of Connor Season are we talking about? Who are the role players and how are they going to deliver in Big Ten on a cold night in January in Lincoln, Nebraska? How are you going to handle yourself in front of that crowd? Can you go on the road to Pauley Pavilion? What happens when you go to College Park, Maryland, and face a talent, an always talented, athletically gifted Maryland team? What do you do when you face, you know, when you got to go to Indiana? Right, when you got to go to Freedom Hall and deal with that craziness, what does it all mean? I like what Fred says because he and the players are saying the same thing without using the same context, that they're working hard, that they're starting to identify the things they do well and the things they don't do well, and they all feel like they have enough talent to be successful. Air quotes, whatever successful means. Does it mean another 20-win season? I'm not sure, but Austin, I would ask, if that's what they meant, 20-win season, is that enough?
Well, I think part of it depends on how the 20 looks, which may or may not be fair, but it took Nebraska winning four straight games at the end of last season to get to 20. Now, 20 is 20, and they won a postseason tournament to do it, and they deserve credit for that. But I think Husker fans, you know, at least the ones that I've heard from, would prefer, you know, 18 or 19 of those wins come in the regular season, at the very least, because the Nebraska team that made the tournament won 23 games. I mean, what, two or three of them in the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah.
So 20 wins, I think, I heard it described this way, even with like the Kansas City Royals, right? I mean, in my lifetime, they've made the playoffs four times. Three in my lifetime. That's not a lot. Nebraska men's basketball in my lifetime has made the NCAA tournament three times. Is 20 wins the ultimate end-all, be-all standard and goal? No. But I think stacking 20-win seasons is a step in the right direction, almost, you know, irrespective of how those wins come. Because you take it. This hasn't been a 20-game winning program. It is a new team. It is a new batch of guys. There are new pieces to integrate. Is that not the era of college basketball? I don't want to use that as an excuse. You know, some years it's going to click better, some years it's not. So I don't think that just getting to 20 wins is the standard. I think that 20 wins is a goal. I think that gives you a chance to make the NCAA tournament, depending on who you beat and where you beat them. But I would say that a third straight 20-win season would be another right step, you know, in the right direction for the Nebraska men's basketball program.
Yeah, and you also have to remember all the things you just said, and then remember the trauma that Nebraska basketball fans hold themselves under, right, and attach themselves to. Mm-hmm. So you have to get off to a good start. Otherwise, it'll be lost. Mm-hmm. It'll be lost. People aren't kind of going to come back if you can't do that. Then, two, making it exciting. And an exciting type of ball, we know that Nebraska fans love shooters. So if you tell me that
I'm going to push back a little bit. Nebraska fans love post-ups and defense. That's all I've heard about on post-game for the last 2 years.
You please talk on this so I understand. All right. Juwan Gary, post-up?
Please, no. Not an efficient play.
Any of the bigs from last year, post-up?
Morgan had some in his game. Bear K, a little bit. Again, these were relative strength, not strength themselves.
That Derek Walker's career was built on diversity.
Yeah, on face-ups.
On his ability to distribute the ball from the top of the key, right? I think that was big. Mm-hmm. His undersized defender, right? But offensively, you didn't count on Derek Walker for buckets. Right,
not unless he's going right into the chest of Ryan Kalkbrenner. Sorry, Creighton.
Right, that's really kind of the thing. So I don't know what the Nebraska basketball fans were looking for. I don't know what
I'm telling you from my experience on post game. Uh-huh. Why are they shooting so many threes? They're not going in. That's not a good shot. Why is that guy in the corner? He's got to drive more.
Well, it's not that. It's not that they're taking the shots. It's that they're not going in.
They're not making them.
They love it when they're going in.
Again,
chicks dig the long ball, Austin.
That's not the Nebraska fans I've heard from. They're happier when they're going in.
Right.
But the number of people I've heard say they're shooting too many threes. And here's the thing. Nebraska didn't shoot that many threes relative to college basketball last year. So it means
they didn't know what they were talking about.
I know, which is what I kept trying to tell people last year. They didn't know what they were talking about. Nebraska shot an average number of threes last year. And that's what tells me that Nebraska fans want the Bruce Chubbuck, you know, sort of thing back. But don't forget that the teams that Bruce Chubbuck was on ran. They were scoring 90 points per game. They didn't play much defense.
I think of Nebraska fans during the Tominaga era, right? That to me was that building set. It stopped sitting on its hands because K-State could launch a three at any
time. Anytime, sure.
From anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they loved it. They rejoiced. Mm-hmm. When he got a streak going, everybody was, okay, let's do this. Let's party. I'm not sure that happens in the post. I don't think anybody sees somebody down the box and goes, oh, here we go. Here we go.
Alex Marsh has the ball. Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go.
See, Kupchker can confirm because I've said all those things directly to you.
Bear K going to work.
Baseline. Hey, baseline Bear K.
Bear K in the lab. Bear K. Bear K's in his bag.
Let him cook. Clear out.
I don't know. I don't know who you're talking to in the post games, but we need to monitor the text line because.
No, I did do many well checks on them last year because they were saying things that just, again, textures, we love you. We love that you tune in. We love that you give your opinion. And I don't want to say that you are on your face wrong. But I hope you understand where I am coming from and that I give you good data to support what it is. I'm not pulling it out of my butt.
You know, the sound
finding numbers.
This is what I hear in the post game. You know the sound that Kevin Meyer makes when he's cracking a beer? That's what that's the sound you need to have before every text.
Literally. And again, Husker fans, Husker basketball fans, love you to pieces. Love you to pieces. But I say all that to bring it back to this. This team, I'm not putting my mortgage on it, but this is going to be a team that shoots more threes than any Fred Hoiberg team in Nebraska.
Yeah, I am.
They're only going to increase the volume because here's the thing. I think that's their only chance to win. This team is not stopping a nosebleed.
But this is why I said it. I think if you tell me that this team is going to shoot threes and shoot them at a higher frequency and a higher effective rate, then yes, I'm going to be all in on this team. But if this team – remember the days where Nebraska couldn't make free throws? Like we
– Yes, I remember 3 years ago. Gosh, dang.
We're talking about – you couldn't finish at the rim, and you couldn't make free throws.
Oh, and you probably couldn't shoot threes that year either.
Either. And it was just like, oh, the pain. So I'm ready. I'm ready for Friday. I'm going to march down there. I'm going to have a good time down on Canopy Street. You know, I'm going to go see Dan Swanson, go to the Canopy Street Market, maybe get some tacos or a meal or two. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But listen, I fully expected threes to be just falling from the sky. they're gonna be shooting those things like wiener schnitzel, baby. They were, we're really
we are warning you now, Nebraska basketball fans. There will be a lot of three pointers. There will be more than you like.
Here's your 7-footers are gonna shoot three.
Yes. You will play 2 7-footers at multiple times, right? Between Bearcay, between Rink, between Oogie. Fred Hoiberg has talked about the ability that all three of those guys have to shoot the ball. They will play together. They will play individually. You will see it all. But let's just go even through the guards. Sam Hoiberg, better outside than inside. Jamarcus Lawrence, career 38-39% three-point shooter. Kendall Blue, 42% guy. Connor Sejan, walking heat check. They like Frager's ability to shoot it. I'm waiting on that one. Jury's out. Price Sanford, what was his one job? Stand in the corner and shoot. Will Cooper, what was his one job at Air Force? Stand in the corner and shoot. Cale Jacobson shot it well in the crowd.
If you tell me that it is a stand in the corner and shoot roster, I am going to have Jay Foreman salt and pepper hair in full, because I'm just going to stop. I'm going to stop shaving. I'm going to stop combing. I'm just going to be here every day mumbling. Oh man. Oh no. Oh no. Why is he not cutting? Why is he not cutting?
So funny enough, Fred Hoiberg was actually asked. So I did ask Fred about that, because he's talked a lot about the shooting and the gravity. And so I asked him, okay, late clock, you got a bunch of guys you trust to shoot the basketball, but you need someone to create for those shooters. Who's getting the ball late in the clock? Has anyone stepped up, you know, in isolation situations? And Fred's answer was, well, we're going to be a movement team. We can't be static. We don't have a Bryce. We don't have a Kese. So it's going to be a lot of Rink at the elbow looking to facilitate with cutters around him, which is fine. But DP, I know there's a basketball coach in you, and I'm going to get Fred on record about this sometime. You can hold me to this, but cutting. You can teach it to a point, but some of it is just innate natural basketball IQ, where you don't feed into your own personal narrative of, oh, I'm a shooter. That's what made Kase Tominaga so dangerous. Yes, he could shoot. Yes, he could hit from funny angles and anywhere. But the threat of Kase with his crafty finishing package on the back cut, his timing of his cuts, his chemistry with Rink, that, this is a basketball purist, was almost as exciting to me as the random heat checks he would hit.
Going to need Nate Lenzer to show up here and tell me that why any Husker can't outrun a defender who backpedals.
Just go.
If I am at the three-point line and you come out to close out to the three-point line, my first step is to get even. My second step is to be leaving.
Bye. Yes.
To be leaving.
Yes.
And it has to, like, to not understand that you cannot backpedal or swivel and go as quickly as I can sprint from one straight line to another. Mm-hmm. And so that is cutting basketball. We would almost teach, be offended by somebody closing you out high. Because I'm going to step, triple threat, I'm going to step to whatever angle forces them to reopen up and then gather themselves.
Make another turn. And, right, yeah.
100%. Now, if I am in a full sprint, if you're closing out to me and I take off before your last step hits the ground, I sprint to the front of the rim for a pass. It is almost impossible for you to meet me there defensively. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible. And the fact that we can't accept that, and we won't teach it.
It's a crime.
It's a crime. If you close out to me, I am going to bust your hiney. I am the nerve of you to come out here in the deep water. There's sharks out here, dude. What are you doing closing out of me this way? I'm offended, and you must pay. You must pay now. You must go down hard.
And cutting is a part of spacing, right? You think about, you're condensing yourself to the rim, but how much it opens up for other people. Nebraska's team of shooters that Fred Hoiberg is going to keep talking about would lead me to believe that they'll have better spacing. Well, when you think about it, but part of spacing then is, why do you space the floor so you can get to the rim? Because Nebraska has one, maybe two guys that I trust consistently to have a good first step with a ball in their hands, get by their opponent. Nebraska's spacing last year was off, and guys were floating around the perimeter. I hope, for Nebraska's sake and for Fred Hoiberg's sake, that these guys understand that as shooters, the best thing for them is space. They're not going to drift aimlessly. They're going to move to a spot where they pull the defense away to get their guy a driving lane to being drive and kick out to them for a more open shot. Too much listless floating for Nebraska last year.
Well, the coaching is spacing is offense and offense is spacing. The two are directly correlated. And we know that in a five-out scenario, we want full balance. And that if you're going to go one under, somebody's going to be standing in a corner wide open. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with I need to get through the threshold, get into the paint, make you commit that one defender to commit. Mm-hmm. But I also know that if Austin closes out to me from the top of the key, you're at the front of the rim. If I attack you, you cannot see behind you.
Yep.
And the defender to the corner, the far corner, that defender has his eyes on me because I have the ball, mm-hmm. which means you cannot see the person you're defending in a corner. The moment he turns, if I see the back of your head, you're dead. Those are the rules. Cut hard. I'm going mm-hmm. to apex and make Austin make a decision. Me or the guy he can't see. And either way, one of us need to finish up at the rim spanking somebody.
Either way, I'm at the rim. Mission accomplished for me. I got there.
You know,
I'll finish it.
I mean, there are rules to the game. The problem becomes when you do not follow the rules.
Right.
When you do not have some point of attack, some theory of attack, and understanding the standard of speed and the standard of spacing, good spacing. Make the defender apex and choose the middle point between any two players, mm-hmm. right? And then if I can add to that, not only space, but I'm going to make him defend man ball rather than the rim, which is a whole other level to this thing.
Well, and that's offense is spacing is offense. It's also about numbers. If you can have one defender guard two guys, which is what you're doing when you don't cut and you stand out in the corner, that's difficult. What you want as an offense is to create two-on-ones with, like you were saying, guy with the ball, guy at the rim, you know, help defender, and you, or three-on-twos. Can you break them down, have a guy parked in either corner? They have to make those two guys choose as you go to the rim. Either way, it's numbers.
If I can glue you to the floor,
I win.
I win. If I get you in the air, I win. If I get you to make a decision, I win. Mm-hmm. The only thing I cannot let you do is to not make a decision.
Or make the decision for me.
Right. Well, here's the thing. You make the decision for me, I'm going to punish you. Attack me. Come on.
Bring it.
Because the only other option you have is to help. Ask for help or go chase the corner where you think I'm going. But if you leave, you left your front door open, bro. I'm spanking you.
Lots to watch out for Nebraska men's and women's basketball opening night with the Huskers Friday night in the Rail Yard. We'll be back wrapping up Hour 2 of Old School in just a sec.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up Old School for the day. Takedown Tuesday comes your way here momentarily. This segment brought to you by Love Volleyball Nebraska. Not just Love Volleyball Omaha any longer. To renew your season tickets or secure them for the first time, visit lovb.com to make sure you get your seats to watch Olympic champions, national champions, and former Huskers all take the court for Love Volleyball Nebraska. In our last couple minutes here, DP, we would be remiss if we didn't also shout out the Nebraska women's basketball team, of course, in action opening night on Friday as well. Another NCAA tournament appearance for that crew. Lose some good players off the team, but plenty coming back. Excited for sophomore year, Britt Prince. Plenty going on in the post. Amaya Hargrove, I think, was a big breakout player for them last year. I think that's a program that can be a model for the men's program. They got to a level of success. They've maintained it for a while. Now, is there another next step here in this Nebraska women's basketball program?
Well, I mean, I think we watched Nebraska in the Big Ten tournament against the Force, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Force. And you're watching against a UCLA team, long, athletic, mm-hmm. got up and down the floor, defended well. Nebraska probably played its best basketball in the three games, its final three games of the season. And I think that is a thing to circle. You also get healthier. You get a returning player, mm-hmm. Two returning players, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. Players of some importance and who are starters, projected starters, and at least all Big Ten honorable caliber players. So getting those two players back, getting in the transfer portal, getting some work done, getting folks talk about Nebraska differently. I can tell you the rest of the Big Ten was paying attention to Nebraska basketball during the tournament. How they handled the West Coast folks certainly played. it played because there were parents that were circling. Rutgers parents were circling. Indiana parents were circling. Whatever's happening at Nebraska, we can be a part of.
Indeed. We'll see what happens again. All on display Friday night down in the rail yard. Big thanks to everyone chiming in on the show. One last thing here. Crowbait, more importantly, women's volleyball. Nebraska versus Creighton tonight. Mentioned this with Tom a little bit last night, DP, but two programs that are kind of a crossroads season, both replacing coaches. Nebraska number one, Creighton still in the top 20. Should be a fun one up at the CHI Health Center tonight.
Go Big Red.
As always. I'll say the two magic words, little sister. And with that, that'll do it for Old School. Takedown Tuesday comes your way, 93.7 The Ticket, ticketfm.com.